The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
And so he put his body in the doorway like this, like an X. And he was like, you're not leaving this room until we talk. What do you think that would do to me? Would that make me say, oh, I'm gonna sit down now? No, you know what I did? I went to the furthest corner of the room and I ran as fast as I could and I tackled him.
Next on Life Today, Lisa Bevere presents See It, an insightful teaching on seeing yourself as God sees you.
Obviously, I'm not James or Betty. My name is Christine Kane from the Land Down Under, and it's my privilege to be hosting you today. I so love Life Today and the ministries of Life Outreach. I feel like family. Well, today we're going to jump right into Wednesdays in the Word with my Sicilian sister, Lisa Bevere, who's going to teach us how to see it, how to look at life from God's perspective. I know she's going to bless you.
You know, our marriages were never meant to be a power struggle. Marriage was created to be a power union. The fall is what created the battle of the sexes. But even before there was a fall, there was a problem. And do you know what that problem was? That problem was, it is not good for man to be alone. God looked at everything that he had created that was in a state of perfection. And yet he said, Adam alone is not good. He didn't say Adam wasn't good. He said the position of aloneness is not good. It was God who said the woman needs to come out and she must have voice and she must have expression outside of Adam. And so Adam goes to sleep. We know that God removed Eve from Adam's side so that she could join alongside of him. And when he saw the two of them together, he said, this is so very good. So I just want to say this about women, because there's a lot in our culture that would hint that being a woman is a less than. You need to understand, being a woman is an answer. You are actually, as a daughter, God's answer to the very first problem. I want everybody to look at the neighbor and say, I'm an answer, not your problem. Okay, isn't that awesome? Okay. Okay, now look at your neighbor and say, you're an answer, not my problem. Okay. When women think being a woman is a problem, they try to act like men. And we have had the whole culture of feminism saying, if you want to be powerful as a woman, act like a man. Well, I don't want to act like a man. I want to act like a woman. Because God said that woman needs to have an expression. Now, that's great to understand that we're not each other's problems. But the second thing is, if you're an answer, you need to begin to act like one. So tomorrow morning when you all brush your teeth, I want you to look in the mirror. I want you to get a little sister attitude, kind of get your hip out, going like this, take your toothbrush out, point it at the mirror, and say, there is a problem out there. I am the answer to. Amen. You need to begin to see yourself as a God-crafted answer to relational problems. You are an answer in a world that is desperate for something that you carry. And men and women together are better answers than either of them are apart. Yes. My husband is X and Y. God's like, I'm going to make the man. He's going to be X and Y. That is his chromosome structure. But then God's like, that's awesome. But I just want to know what might happen if I could isolate the X, raise it to the second power, X, X, okay, that is the woman. Because we are X, X, God said, she'll multiply everything. She'll multiply everything I give her. You know, my husband gave me a house, I gave him a home. He gave me his last name, I gave him four boys with a last name, I'm trying to claim the grandkids. I mean, everything that he gave me, I gave it back to him, multiplied and in strength. But women that are broken don't multiply, they divide. And so it's really important that we allow God to change the way we see ourselves, that you understand that you are an answer. You say, I'm not an answer, Jesus is the answer. Well, Jesus is in heaven. You are going to be the only Jesus a lot of people will ever see. You are his hands, you are his feet. You know, Jesus didn't just take your place. He gave you his. He gave you his name. He gave you his authority. He gave you his perspective. We need to actually walk out what Jesus gave us. And even stats prove this is true. They did a study about single men versus married men and how it was not good for men to be alone. Men that are married live 10 years longer than men that are single. I don't know why the girls are desperate to get married. The guys need to be desperate to get married. The women need to be like, I don't know who I'm gonna add a decade to here. I gotta see who is worthy of this amazingness that I will bring to them. Men that are married have twice the earning potential that men that are single. Men that are married, when they've only have a college education, it actually gives them the level of a master's. I just think we teach them. Anyway, so they did all this study about men and what women added to them. I love how the world will spend thousands and maybe millions of dollars to do a study that God actually said, I already told you guys that, it's not good for men to be alone. 80% of the violent crimes are committed by single men. Why? Because women add purpose to their labor. If you are just working and you have no legacy and you have no relationship, then you just don't understand the why behind things. But I want to open up and move away from theory and kind of unpack a little bit what John's and my marriage look like and why I think marriages are so important. When we first met each other, you know, John led me to the Lord on our first date. So I was like, this man and I are put together by God. We will never, ever have a problem. We will never disagree about anything, okay? We went to marriage counseling just out of obligation, and we just kind of rolled our eyes and said, this is for people that God did not put together. God put us together. It's going to be amazing. But about 3 months into our marriage, I had a vision. I had a vision of a perfect man. And this man looked like John, but he did not act like John. And I decided the reason why I was in John's life was to change him from the man he was to the man he could be if he would just work with me. And at first I was gentle. At first I made suggestions, but then I started to get a little bit more forceful with this mission of my life to change my husband. But John had visions of his own, visions of a sweet, supportive, submissive wife. And we began to fight like you cannot believe. You know, when you have no children at home to watch you, you will do a lot of stupid stuff. I remember one particular night we were having this disagreement and John said, sit down. And I said, no. And he decided to block my exit from the bedroom. And so he put his body in the doorway like this, like an X. And he was like, you're not leaving this room until we talk. What do you think that would do to me? Would that make me say, oh, I'm gonna sit down now? No, you know what I did? I went to the furthest corner of the room and I ran as fast as I could and I tackled him. And he was down. I said, no man tells me to stay in a room I don't want to be in. Another time, we've been married for 32 years. So our kids are all safe. They're all safe. Okay. Some people start getting scared. This was the first couple years. Okay, another time, we were having a disagreement and he said, sit down. And I said, no. And I started to move and he pushed me, not like being mean, but pushed me to try to get sit down. But I had so much forward motion going that only half of my bottom made it to the bed and I fell on the floor. And I came up with a lamp in my hand. Now, I would like to say this was a little table lamp, but it was a floor lamp. It was like a full-on lamp, and I'm like, ah! And my husband's like, oh my gosh, what are you gonna do with that? And I was like, I don't even know how I got it in my hand. So I just like put the lamp down, backed away from the lamp, invited one of my Christian sisters who is newly married to out to lunch, and I just tried to open up with her. I'm like, have you like ever been in a disagreement with your husband and all of a sudden you had a lamp in your hands? And she was like, no. And I was like, me neither. We have never would anything like that happen. And I felt like I was living such a lie because we would fight all the way to church and then we'd hit the church parking lot and a miracle would happen. All of a sudden we'd be waving like Ken and Barbie. So Lord, let's go to lunch. During church service, we sat in constant physical contact with one another. We held hands. People thought, how affectionate. No, we were communicating. When the pastor would say things like, husbands, love your wives, I would take my hands and I would do the knee clench on John's leg. Like, did you hear that? When he would say things like, wives, submit to your husbands, my fingers would almost be broken. People would watch us and say, what a cute couple. I can just see the hand of God on their life. Yeah, he was hovering over us to smack both of us. He's like, stop this. During that season, John's favorite scripture, we're not gonna put it up there, I can quote it from memory, was, it is better to dwell on the corner of a rooftop, Proverbs 21:9, than with a nagging, fault-finding wife. And I'd be like, just get on up there. Because I'm not gonna stop. It's not stopping. My favorite was Malachi 2:14, you're dealing treacherously with the wife of your youth. We just cut each other up with the word of God. And we found ourselves living in ruins. We found broken places. I remember we couldn't even pray together without arguing. He'd have my hand and be like, stop holding my hand so tight. When are you gonna let me pray? I mean, it was like ridiculous. I was like, what is going on? These two people that were so one in purpose and heart, we found ourselves so diminished, so divided, so broken. We just didn't know how to do it. And about year four, we said, we need to stop this. I had a baby. We're like, we can't be doing WWF wrestling in front of our baby. We need to stop this nonsense. But it actually took us the first 8 years before we began to rise and build. And I need you not to see your marriage where it is right now. I need you to see what your marriage might be. I need you to begin now with the end in mind, not with today in mind, but begin to write differently. So I'm gonna unpack some of the strengths a woman has and the strengths a man has. You know, a man gives something called structure. Structure is very, very important. When my boys were little, I bought as many Legos as we could afford to buy. And John would travel and come home from a trip and he would call me from the Orlando airport. Now this is before we had cell phones. And he would call me and say, hey babe, I'm on my way home. What he was really saying was, sweetheart, I know you have no concept of time and you have 45 minutes before I'm gonna come home, clean the house. That's really what was being communicated. But I would hang up the phone and be like, okay. And so I'd be like, boys, oh my gosh, your dad is on his way here. clean the house, get some clothes on. I let my children run in their underwear. I was like, it's less laundry. We lived in Florida, it was warm. I was like, why? Why do this? And so my children would be running, they would all like go into scampering mode. I'd brush my teeth and, you know, try to get myself so I wasn't a hygiene nightmare, and just kind of, you know, try to get everything ready. And my husband, you know, would be getting ready to come, and my boys would stand in the window waiting for him to come because they were so excited, because they always built him something. They would be like, we're gonna build Dad a Lego tower. And they'd build these towers that were really, really high. And John would come in and he would have to like judge the towers. As a mother, I didn't understand. I was like, why does somebody always have to lose? I don't get this. But he explained to me, no, that's just the way it is. We have to have people that lose. Every son's dream is to beat their father. And he's like, they're not going to like, you know, get it handed to them. They have to rise to this level. I'm like, okay. So they would have these towers. And of course the younger sons were always at a disadvantage. They just couldn't get as high, and they'd get the towers. They'd be like, this is awesome. This one's really high. This one, I like what you got going on down there. And then my boys would take a car out of the toy box, back it up, and crash it into the Lego towers. It was all about building big and then a big crash. I've kept all of those Legos so that I can be the best grandmother. Anyway, I'm trying to win the contest. Anyway, one time, and it was only one time, I was allowed to babysit my friend's daughter. And she came over and I put her down on the floor, and she didn't build towers. She built rooms. She actually built rectangles, and she dug through the toy box, and she found the Lego chairs and tables and the people. My boys were okay with driving cars without people in them. What is that? Anyway, my boys were like, we don't need people. We just need cars. So anyway, she would tote out the Lego man and the Lego woman, who never got any playtime at my house, get the Lego person out. She would sit them at the table. She would make them hold Lego hands. My boys would watch her in horror. Like, what are you doing with our Legos? And she knew she had some kind of power. And I remember seeing her take the Lego girl and the Lego guy, and in full sight of my boys, she had them kiss. My boys were like, ah, we're gonna have to burn that. We're gonna have to burn those too. Well, guys build big, but women build safe. And we need both of those if we are going to be healthy in our homes and in the house of God. We need the voice of mothers and fathers. Not just fathers, not just mothers. The man guards the house, and the woman guards the heart.
Wow, what a powerful teaching on marriage. I think she's the only woman that can talk faster than me. And you know what? I love the fact that we've got some fantastic resources available, because the other thing that Lisa and I both share in common is our great passion for helping to rescue the victims of human trafficking around the world. There are young women and children that are held in bondage and sex slavery, and we partner together with Life Outreach to help to reach and rescue and restore the lives of these girls. And you can help us to do that today, and we're going to make available for you. We never sell product, but we can help have some resources available for you based on today's teaching on how to see it, looking at life from God's perspective. You know, everything can change in your life if you change the way you look at your life. And so we want to make these available for you. We'll tell you how as soon as you just see this video with us.
This is a prison. Not a real prison run by a government and police officers, but it is a prison nonetheless. Room after room contains not much more than a bed. Depraved visitors to these types of prisons pour millions of dollars into human trafficking worldwide. The prisoners are scared young girls held captive by violent slave traders. But the prisoners that live here did nothing wrong. They've broken no laws. The girl in cell 4D is innocent.
I that I know we're good with me. When I was growing up, I saw you.
Well, it's so easy to become overwhelmed by looking at that. I think of my own daughter's bedrooms and then I look at those prison cells and I think no girl was designed to live like that. And she said, God, if you're there, please help me. Right now, we get the opportunity to answer that girl's prayer. For only $128, you and I can make a difference. We can help to reach, to rescue, and to restore the lives of those young women. We can literally pull them out of those prisons and put them into a place where they can know their dignity in Christ, where we can help to see every aspect of their lives restored. Only $128. What wouldn't we do if this was our own child? Well, she is God's daughter and she is our sister, and we have the opportunity to do that. I wonder, would you partner with us? Would you partner with us to go into those places and help to pull those girls out of that pit of hell and bring them into the life and the light of God? They asked, is there a God? We get the opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I wonder, would you help us perhaps rescue 10 girls? For only $1,280, we could pull 10 girls out of that pit and help to give them a new life, a hope, a purpose, and a destiny. Sometimes you think, maybe I can't do $128. Well, could you do $64? Could you help us, and perhaps your contribution and somebody else's, together we can partner to help to rescue these girls? You know, she said, is there a God? There is a God. We have the opportunity to show these girls right now there is a God. He has heard their prayer, and we are going into the depths of despair to pull them out of the pit into the life, the light, the hope, the mercy, and the justice of Jesus Christ. $128. Would you partner with us? Why don't you go right now, pick up the phone. Perhaps you could go online. Do whatever you need to do. If you help us, we will keep going. We will go to the uttermost places of darkness to bring those girls into the light and help to restore their dreams and to help them fulfill their God-given destiny and purpose. Thank you so much for partnering with us and to helping to give somebody a future.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. Your gift today of only $128 will help rescue a child and change their destiny forever. With gifts of $64 or $32, we will combine your support with others to help rescue one more child from the shame and pain of this existence. Today, with your gift of any amount, we'll send you Lisa Bevere's powerful new series, See It, on audio CD, along with her companion book, It's Not How You Look, It's What You See. In this new series, Lisa equips you to see a new perspective for your life, one of great possibilities, not limited by the world, but defined by God, who sees your future and created you to be a unique blessing to those around you. With your gift of $128 to help rescue a child, you may request the book along with See It on CD and DVD, or choose USB flash drive, which includes all the messages in both audio and video. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280 to help rescue 10 children, and you may request our 2014 commemorative glass sculpture, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I've spent the last few days walking the streets of Mumbai. I have seen brothels. I have seen children. I have seen women, but they all have one thing in common. None of them chose to be here. The women I've talked to, they were either kidnapped from Nepal, or other places in India, brought to Mumbai with the hope of something bigger, something better, a future, an opportunity to improve their lives. And what they found was torture, captivity, and bondage. It is an overwhelming, hopeless cycle. But you know what? We can do something about this. First, it's preventative. We want to spread the word to the people that are lying and taking these young women captive, these women that all they want is a hope and a future. We want to educate and equip them so they don't fall captive to this. But secondly, the ones that are captive, we want to rescue them. We want to give them enough hope that they'll be brave enough to step out. And when they step out, we want to give them a place where they can be restored. We want to restore their life. We want to give them skills so that they can have a dream. We need partners for rescue. But you know what? We need you to go to the phone. We need you to go online. We need you to be generous. I know what you've seen. I know what you've heard. It's uncomfortable. But we need you to move into action. Thank you.
I sure hope you're going to partner with us and help to rescue these girls. I hope you pick up the phone right now. Well, we've had an amazing day today. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again.
Are you concerned about your family being ill-equipped to manage resources when you pass away? Do you want to leave a legacy gift that impacts the lives of others? As a free service to our friends and partners, Life Planning Services, a ministry of Life Outreach International, is here to help with your estate planning needs and chart your financial future. Do not put off this important step to protect your loved ones and leave a lasting legacy. Contact Life Planning Services today. Chad and Julia Veach's world was turned upside down when their four-month-old daughter was diagnosed with a rare brain malformation. Tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.